Father's Day is here, a very important time for fathers especially, and their children. We're celebrating fathers today with Allison Van Diglin from Fresh Dialogues, a fresh blog. Welcome to South Bay Sunday, Allison.
Thank you so much.
Is blog the proper description?
I think of it as an interview series green focus.
Okay.
So everything on Fresh Dialogues is to do with the environment or clean tech or being better to the planet, basically.
And everything is good reading.
Absolutely. Good reading, and there are videos on there and transcripts of many of the interviews, too.
And speaking of good reading, from the San Jose Mercury, Peter Delabet is here. Nice to have you.
Hi, thanks very much.
Now, you write about money.
I do.
And you're a fairly new dad, I hear.
Have a 2.5-year-old. He'll be 3 this summer.
So are you worried about the financial situation of our country and the world as someone who's raising a young child?
You do think a lot more about those kinds of long-term things. Prior to coming back onto the venture capital beat at the Mercury News, I spent the past 4 years editing all of our government and politics coverage and looking at Sacramento and thinking about what a fairly dysfunctional place it is. It becomes much more personal when you think about not just the state of the schools, but the state of your kids' schools.
Or the state of the state, for
right,
that matter.
Absolutely.
So it's an important thing, especially as we think about Father's Day. I wonder if it would surprise our children how much we think about their future and care about them. Because to them, dad's a stoic guy in so many ways, you know. At least in my way.
Sure, sure.
How about you as a dad?
Well, my wife and I waited until a little bit later in life. I was 39 when James was born, and so I felt like there's never any way to go back and tell. My own father was 23, I think, when I was born, so he was pretty much done raising kids by the time he was my age. So I do think about being an older parent and what are the ways that I might parent differently than I would have if I'd been younger. One thing for sure, I think I would have had a lot more energy. I remember when my wife was pregnant, I was talking with Tobias Wolf at Stanford. I was telling him how nervous I was about this, and he was an older dad as well, and he said to me that he always felt having a young kid in the house made him feel younger, which I appreciated. I can't say that I always find that to be the case, but it does. It certainly does give me an excuse to be goofy around the house, which I like to do, and gives me a sort of a partner in crime in that regard, somebody I can sing silly songs with and so forth.
Now, Allison's here because she got published writing about her dad.
That's right. Over 5 years ago, I submitted an essay to This I Believe on NPR and didn't hear a thing. Then suddenly got a phone call out of the blue. We love your essay. We want to put it in a collection of essays called This I Believe on Fatherhood. So it's my first contribution to a book, so I'm pretty excited.
I bet it was exciting to see your own words right there in a book.
Yeah, and I think it's a fitting tribute to my dad, too. I'm pretty excited about that.
I want you to read about it, but I also would love to hear you talk about your dad.
Sure. My dad was a technician. He worked for a local college in Glasgow, and he had a great sense of humor, and he taught me and my two sisters some really important things about life, one of which being save for a rainy day. Growing up in Scotland, there were a lot of rainy days, and so he insisted on a lot of saving. Since we were 5 years old, he would take us to the post office, and we'd buy these little post office stamps and put them in a little book, and it was pennies. But to us, we felt, you know, we were accumulating. So that was a wonderful life lesson that my dad taught us. And he also, I think he implanted this green, you know, not so much care about the environment, but preserve energy. We lived in a very cold house in the west coast of Scotland, and the house was always freezing, but there was one warm room in the house, and my dad always said, shut the door, you know, keep the heat in. You know, that was one of the messages that he brought us up with, that, you know, preserve energy and keep the heat in.
And that's something that you carried with you right into
absolutely, and switch off all the lights. And it's something that I've passed on to my kids.
What did you learn from your dad that you might want to pass on to your child? Can you think of something, Peter?
Yeah, I think about this a lot, actually. My parents are split their time between the Midwest and Florida, so my wife and I are doing a lot of parenting solo when we don't get a chance to see them. So absolutely, my dad too, Allison, taught me, I think, the value of frugality. James has a little piggy bank, and he's small enough now that he's just kind of starting to get the concept. Sometimes we're playing out at the playground, and he'll set up a little, pretend ice cream stand or whatever, and so I'll go up and ask him for some ice cream and ask him how much it costs, and he tells me 5 monies. Which I always get a kick out of. But my wife is Vietnamese, and so every year for Tet, for the Vietnamese New Year, the kids get lucky money in little red envelopes. And I've been thinking a little bit, talking with my wife about when James starts getting older, what kind of I'd like to try to impart with him some kind of a deal where, okay, you could spend this money now on candy or whatever, but if you save it, then daddy will match it. And then that's when instead of having just $1, you'll have $2 or $5, or thinking down the road about things like that, about money. That certainly is it's an important thing.
That's a great seed to plant. But my dad, the key lesson I remember from my father was, and it happened several times, we would be somewhere where he would be buying something and someone would give him too much change and he'd always say, "You've given me too much," and give them the money back. It made a big impression on a little kid. And so, I mean, it's not just about money. It's about honesty. Dad taught me something very fundamental, and that is that, you know, your honesty and your name and your word, they stay with you, and it's an important thing to protect. And it's an important thing to pass on, which he did to me and which I did to my children. Mm. Let's hear about your dad.
Okay. There's one other anecdote I'd like to share, and that is my dad taught us to make things last, whether it was a bar of chocolate lasting not just for hours or days, but weeks. But, you know, with items that we tend to throw away in today's society, like shoes, you know, he would always polish his shoes and look after them to make them last longer. And I think, you know, in our days of, you know, just chuck it out when it's old, mm-hmm. I think that's a good lesson. And it's also very green.
It's a lesson we could learn again in America, certainly.
Definitely, definitely. So this is from This I Believe on Fatherhood, and I'll just read a couple of excerpts from it.
It's available online, by the way, and where else?
On Amazon and probably independent bookstores, too. Okay. Yes. And actually, This I Believe, if you buy it at This I Believe's website, is them. So good cause. Okay, so this essay is entitled Gardens and Their Power to Heal. When my father died at age 70, it was a shock I struggled to accept, especially as I hadn't visited him for months. His death was probably as inevitable as winter rain. He endured chronic asthma his whole life in Scotland, and he was weakened by tuberculosis, but it still hit me hard. Throughout their lives together, he and my mum nurtured the kind of garden that made the neighbours pause on their evening strolls and point and smile at the fanfare of roses and profusion of lavender by the front porch. As a kid, when I helped my dad empty the grass cuttings from the rusty old lawnmower, he teased the passing joggers, "Come and I'll give you some exercise. You can mow my lawn any day." I still treasure an image of him standing in the garden, smiling with his crooked teeth, sun glinting off his thick glasses, wearing a huge scarlet bloom in the buttonhole of his shirt. During his last summer, my father wrote to me about the meaning of life, the passing of the baton, he called it, from parent to child, from growing season to growing season. I still miss his quirky humor and wheezy laugh, the twinkle in his old brown eyes, but I believe in the power of gardens to heal and help people live on in our hearts.
That's wonderful.
It is. Great.
Thank you.
In This I Believe, this is This I Believe series on fatherhood. That's wonderful, and what a wonderful surprise to find out that what you cared about so personally with regards to your father, you could put down and now others can read.
Yes, it's wonderful. I've already had some feedback from a neighbor of mine who read it, and she really sensed a real deep resonance with it. And her father's also passed away, but she made me cry because she wrote to me and said, "I wish our fathers had met. They would have loved one another." You know, so it's wonderful to think that, you know, a small essay you write can resonate with people and bring back fond memories.
It's funny, you can take so many tacks with fatherhood. You can talk about what it's like to be a father today, which is sort of what we're doing with you, Peter. But we're also talking about what you pass on as a father. You know, the most important thing that maybe you get that you pass on to your child. What's your son's name?
His name's James. And actually, even that in and of itself, a lot of parents, younger parents that we've been talking to, new parents, have a hard time figuring out names for their kids. And my wife and I knew right away that if it was a boy, it was going to be James. There's been a James Delavette every generation of my family dating back to 1775, something like that. And then the Delavette before that was Peter Delavette. So it's kind of been a nice circularity in a way to kind of give my son that name. My grandfather was James Allen Delavette, and there's various other generations have had the name. They haven't all gone by James as my son does, but it's provided a very nice sense of continuity for me as a dad. At nights when I rock him to sleep, I've often thought about my grandfather rocking my dad and my great-grandfather rocking him all the way back through the generations to that first Peter and James Delavette in the late 1700s. So that's been very powerful for me as a dad.
I'll bet. In my family, my father was a James, and I'm a Samson, and my grandfather was Samson. It's an odd thing. I went to visit my grandfather's gravesite a few years ago to see your own name on a headstone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what happens when you pass it on from generation to generation. So my grandchildren, various ones, have various family names too, which is a lovely thing to pass on, the name itself. But when you do that, you're really passing on way more than that. You're passing on a chance to tell them where they got the name and the person who was behind that name, which is such an important thing too. But in our family, at least, Father's Day is almost an afterthought, and I kind of go, oh, don't make a big deal. You know, it's okay. I don't want to, you know, if we have lunch, that'll be lovely, whatever, that kind of thing. And sometimes it's not even lunch, and that's okay too. But you celebrate Father's Day quite a bit, huh?
Well, my mom actually was always really big on holidays growing up. It was just always, whether it was Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, as I mentioned, my wife being Vietnamese, we celebrate Tet. My wife and I lived in New Orleans for many years, so we celebrate Mardi Gras. So I think James is going to grow up with a strong sense of celebrating milestones. Birthdays, anniversaries are always a big deal in our house. Actually, this Father's Day, my wife and I were talking about what we wanted to do. And when I was growing up, my dad took us sailing a lot. My wife and I both grew up on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and he had grown up on the water up in the Northeast. And so sailing was always a really, really big part of his life and of our lives. And I've only been sailing, I think, once since we left Louisiana and came out to California in 1998. So I've been saying to my wife, it would be really nice to go out on the bay, take James, kind of expose him to that. So as it turns out, there's going to be an alumni event for my alma mater, Father's Day Sunday, up at the marina in Berkeley. And so it'll be an opportunity for people to come and have a barbecue and go out on the water for a bit. And as I'm thinking about it, it's not just going to be a nice way to celebrate Father's Day for me and to introduce James to something that's really special to my dad, but in a way it's going to be honoring my dad's passion for sailing too.
That's great. Your dad and your son.
Right.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing to bring your child up with, that memory of his grandfather and what he stood for and that sort of thing. With you, Allison, you were talking about the things you learned from your dad. It sounds like, you know, you talked about saving, preserving the earth and preserving so much and not wasting, I guess, was an important thing for you
yes,
to learn.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, the garden part of that story, the part I skipped out, is he left a small amount of money. Rather than put it in our kids' college funds, my husband and I decided to invest it in our garden here in California. That's what the story's about. And so just sitting in our garden and enjoying the beautiful jasmine and the beautiful flowers this time of year, that is a tribute in itself. It makes me think of my dad.
My father became much bigger in my consciousness, I think, when he passed away. You know, you think about who was this man. Is it true for you?
Definitely, yes. There are a lot of times to reflect, and especially events like Father's Day, it makes you stop and think about the past.
Yeah,
definitely.
What did he live? And what do you want your child to know? You know, what do you want to pass on to your child? You know, what you do for a living is important, but how important really is it in the aura of who you are to your child?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the things. In Silicon Valley, it's so easy for all of us to just work 24/7. It's a place that very much emphasizes that culture, and it's easy to get caught up in it. But so my wife and I do think a lot about trying to make sure that we're, especially with the email and those kinds of things that are tempting to do after hours or after work, we're not going to get back these years in James's life. And, you know, as exhausting as having a toddler is, I am at least aware enough that all of the wonderful things about having a toddler are going to go away too when the more frustrating things subside. So having him ask me for a kiss at night or come running to me when we go to pick him up at preschool or why not, those are really I try to really hold on to and savor those things. And you're right, those are absolutely the things, much more so than what did I accomplish professionally or how much money did I make or any of those other kinds of things that are very easy to get caught up in. That's really where the value is. And hopefully as I'm banking up memories of him at this age, and he's starting to bank up memories of me and start to develop his sense of self through some of the values maybe that we try to pass on to him.
Yeah, we love reading what you write about money, but money isn't the measure of a man, is it?
Right. Yeah, I actually have written a travelogue about a trip that I spent. Actually, I mentioned to Allison beforehand, got my 20th anniversary of graduation coming up at the end of this month. And right after I graduated from college, I spent a year backpacking mostly through Asia, and then also ended up living for a time in Paris. And I've written a travelogue out of that trip, and it started off as this big, ponderous tome. And when I had finally finished it, I sat down with a friend for some advice on editing it. It's funny because I write and edit for a living, but I found it very difficult to be objective about my own writing. And he said to me, you know, the question that any good editor asks, which is, what's this story about? And it sort of occurred to me that there are parts of the story that were about things I observed about Japanese society, for instance. But then there were a lot of the story, it really was about my dad and me. It was about – it became kind of a metaphor that was sort of metaphorically or actually literally traveling back to places that he had traveled to as a young man. That wasn't necessarily my intent. But as I got to the end of that trip, I really recognized that I had been kind of following his footsteps in many ways. And I kind of started that trip out not really sure to kind of – In a sense, being 22 years old, rejecting a lot of what your dad teaches you about responsibility and sure. Time to find a job and these kinds of things. And at the end of that year, living out of a backpack, I really realized that a lot of those values my dad had taught me were really ingrained in me. And that really, in a way, helped me to say, okay, it's time to come home and rejoin society in a way. And so in a way, that ended up being what I thought was the most powerful part of the story that I could tell about my relationship with my dad, as opposed to any of the particular places that I had gone physically.
That's something I like to read.
Yes, it sounds like a book in the making, I'm
thinking.
Thanks,
thank you. I have not had a lot of time to devote to trying to get it out in front of agents, but I do have a website. The name of the book is Walking on the Moon, which is sort of, again, one of those kind of metaphorical titles, about change and travel and so forth. So moontripping.com. Walkingonthemoon.com wasn't available, so I had to come up with something else. So that's out there. And I have excerpted a few essays. Travel Channel a few years ago, they have a website and it was up there for a while. I got some good feedback and that was very encouraging. So I'd like to do more with it in the future.
Moontripping.com.
Right.
All right. What's going on at your fresh place?
Fresh Dialogues. A lot of exciting things are happening, actually. Lena Broido is on the team, and she's doing some marketing for me, and we're working on sponsorship packages to bring in sponsors to make it sustainable. And we also have a new person on board. Lisa Lubliner is our education expert. Oh. So she's making lesson plans from some of the interviews I've done. So you can learn about carbon capture, and teachers can have a lesson plan all set there, looking at Fresh Dialogues interviews with, for example, Paul Krugman or Tom Friedman, and then getting a lesson plan all set to go from that. So you can learn about green technologies and energy conservation from Fresh Dialogues. So it's pretty exciting.
Always great reading at freshdialogues.com. It's been too long since you've been to see us. I'm glad you came back.
Thank you, Sam.
Nice to see you again. Peter, thanks for coming by, and happy Father's Day.
Thanks very much. You
happy
too.
Father's Day to you, too.
And to you, too. That's our South Bay Sunday for Father's Day 2011. Have a great day, have a great week, and we'll see you next week here on South Bay Sunday.